This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock.
A little bit of Bill Haley in the comments for you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We thank you for being with us. It is Friday, July the 7th already. Wow. We have a lot going on, by the way. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with an old friend, Jessica Malugin, of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about a judge's decision that curtails the blocking of online speech by the federal government. It's a big issue. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And who brought the blow to the White House? We're going to look at the soap opera surrounding the discovery of cocaine in the West Wing. Wow. So stay tuned for that. And while vouchers in schools continues to rise, gender identity discussions in schools continues to be challenged, and we are going to take a look at both of them in our show. Stay tuned for that. And we have a good one in our Ultimate Top 10, I think so at least, because I watched all of these programs, the top 10 longest-running TV game shows. I want to see if Ed knows what the number one longest-running game show is. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, there is not a better place to get a haircut than Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is located on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 in the Overcash Plaza. Please call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. And we are also sponsored by ArborLife Tree Service. And I'll tell you what, I have used ArborLife. They are great. I had a couple of trees, had to come down. One was really bad. It was looking like it was about to fall over. And they came over. They did a wonderful job. They did it at a great price, whether it's tree enhancement or tree removal or a stump grinding or whatever, anything to do with trees. ArborLife in Tampa is Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. Please call them. You'll get a free estimate, 727-330-1999. 330-1999. All right. So I guess we could start out with the new jobs report. U.S. economy added about 200,000 jobs in June. That is lower than what they figured. The exact total was around 209,000 jobs. That is the lowest number in 3 years, but still apparently a sign that the Fed will continue on its rate hike path. So if the rate hikes are going to continue, you watch the stock market, it will continue to go down, because every time a rate hike occurs, the stock market takes a little bit more of a tumble. While the addition on the additions build on the 339,000 positions created in May, which is a lot more than what was created in June, the data may still present a conundrum for policymakers who continue to wrestle with consumer inflation of 4%, which is twice the Fed's preferred level. That's why the Fed is still involved. The unemployment rate, by the way, held at about 3.6%. What does this mean? It means that Biden doesn't know anything about helping the situation. That's what it means. Don't listen to what he has to say. In fact, he continues to repeat the biggest Pinocchio I think, probably of his administration, about the federal budget deficit. He repeated that once again during a speech in West Columbia, South Carolina, the success of his economic policies. He claims he has reduced the federal government's budget deficit by $1.7 trillion since he took office. Here's what he said, quote, and by the way, parenthetically, he says parenthetically, it's probably, you see how this is? He's reading right directly from the teleprompter. So he reads every word. It doesn't make any difference if it says unquote.
Yeah, we also learned quote. That end of quote is now
end of quote.
Part of
That's,
the
there you
part
go.
Of somebody's re-
That's
speech.
Right. So here he says this, and by the way, parenthetically, I want you to hear about the deficit. I cut the deficit $1.7 trillion in 2 years. Nobody's ever done that. Cut the debt 1.7. He's made the same claim on numerous occasions. And in April, he earned a bottomless Pinocchio from the Washington Post, of all places, from their liberal fact checker. It's a lie. He hasn't reduced it. He's increased the cost of government. He's increased our debt. The liberal fact checker from the Washington Post called the claim highly misleading. He previously gave Biden three Pinocchios when he made a different version of the claim back in September of last year. The guy says in the Post, he says he keeps saying it over and over. By our count, at least 30 times since he's taken credit for reducing the budget deficit by $1.7 trillion. The deficit's worse than ever, all right? So stop saying that.
Well, it's kind of his explanation of gas prices, too.
Well, he's calling this. And by the way, what is Bidenomics? He thinks this is a great term. It's going to bite him in the rear end, this term, yeah. Bidenomics. Mm-hmm. It's like Obamacare. Remember Obamacare? Yeah. Obama liked the term. Mm-hmm. And then when everything went to hell in a handbasket, yeah. as we predicted it would, by the way, Obamacare became kind of a dirty word, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Well, it's like his explanation of gas prices. He tells us that.
Yeah, that's another lie.
I brought gas prices down $1.50 from their peak.
It's just dropping like a rock.
But he doesn't tell you that gas prices are double what they are when he took office.
It was about $1.69 when he took office. The last I looked here in Tampa Bay, which is.
It just shot up again. It's like $3.60 now.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so the heck with him talking about how great prices are. They're not. And I hope people are smart enough to understand it. Don't listen to this guy. Also, by the way, he mumbles something. Somebody's got to tell him. He's got to learn how to. The older he gets, and I guess it's part of the condition.
I'm starting to tune in now when I find out he's going to be on stage somewhere.
Just for the laughs?
Just to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
How he'll get. How can you get lost on a stage that's 10 feet long? How do you do that?
Yeah, I know. And he'll turn the wrong way, and then somebody has to lead him off the stage.
Is there somebody at the other end going, Joe, come here. Joe, come here.
You know what I'm afraid of? One of these days, he's going to take a tumble off the stage.
Well, you know, Kamala's not going to be there to catch him.
No, in fact, she'll probably push him.
Yeah, she'll shove him.
She'll trip him on the way out. You got to be careful about Kamala. By the way, I guess she had another word salad. Did you know that?
Oh, boy.
She had another word salad. I don't know where she was. You know she's supposed to be the border czar? Whatever happened to that one?
Yes, I remember. Remember when he gave... She's going to be the czar of the border.
She can't even find her way down to the border. Why is she...
Oh, wait a minute. Czar of the border kind of reminds of... Kind of... It rhymes with far from the border.
Yes. That's what it...
He meant to say far from the border.
Well, she interpreted czar... from the border to be far from the border.
Just because you're the czar doesn't mean you have to go there.
Yeah. All right. We're beating on them a little bit, but they deserve it. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Jessica Baloogian will be with us as a federal judge has blocked the government from communicating with social media companies to censor the speech.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are back on a Friday, and delighted to have back one of our buddies, Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And Jessica, you made a prediction that has this morning come true. You said that the decision appealing an order limiting social media content by the federal government would certainly be appealed by the Biden administration, and you are right. You are right. It happened just a few minutes ago, officially. So, yeah.
Why? It wasn't, the odds were with me. I have to be honest with you.
Well, as I was just about to say, why are we not surprised?
Right.
This is such an important issue, and this federal judge blocked the Biden administration and, in general, the federal government from basically coercing social media online content providers to, cutting back on what people had to say. And I'm thinking about a couple of things that people were talking about that were banned, one of which was about where the COVID pandemic started. Remember when they were stopping mm-hmm. people from talking about the fact that it might have come from a lab?
Yeah. It was very controversial, apparently, at the time. But now, not so much, right?
Exactly.
Now we're thinking, maybe. Yeah, it's funny how things change like that, isn't it?
It is.
Almost like it's a dynamic process. Yeah.
So this is a very, very, I guess, not only interesting but important topic. And by the way, this U.S. district judge issued his ruling on the 4th of July. It was kind of appropriate, you know, on Independence Day to talk about and allow free speech by people.
Yeah, some legal fireworks, if you will.
Yes, indeed. So so here we go, you know, with all of these things going on, and the government, you know, and then of course the government comes along to say, "Well, no, we're not really censoring people. We just want to be on the lookout for misinformation." Well, it turns out, apparently, that a lot of the misinformation is coming from the government itself.
So, at its most philosophical side of this conversation, right? We can ask ourselves, who is in charge of what is who decides what is true and what is not true? And of course, in this country, it should be the individual, right? If we're all blessed with the ability to pick leaders for ourselves, then that implies that we can discern what is truth and what is not for ourselves. So on the more practical side of this argument, what you have is the judge issuing an opinion that said, hey, government employees, and name some employees very specifically, which is interesting. You're not allowed to contact these social media companies and ask them to pull things down or de-emphasize anyone's third-party content. You're not allowed to do that. But he also gave them a list of things they are allowed to do. National security, election interference, public safety. And, of course, the tricky part of that is if you ask some of the people who pulled that information down, they would say that that was a national security issue or there was election interference or there was public safety. So this decision moves things in the right direction, but I will tell you that the devil is in the details when we start trying to define what speech is okay and what speech is not. What is the government allowed to weigh in on? What are they not? And it really is going to be a nuanced and difficult conversation, but one this country really needs to have.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, this is Louisiana Judge Terry Daugherty that made this ruling and issued it on the 4th of July. It will, as we say, it's going to be appealed. Do you think it will be appealed all the way up and find its way to the Supreme Court, Jessica?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what the Fifth Circuit says, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because, again, you know, what post is someone's opinion that's protected free speech as opposed to a national security threat that the government has the right to bully these companies into taking down? That's a subjective question. And in some ways, perhaps the judge didn't go far enough in saying, you know, just don't talk to these social media companies. Now, that comes with costs as well, because if there truly was a national security threat, I think a lot of us wouldn't have a problem with the government talking to them.
That's
but obviously
right.
What we've seen through, right, and what we've seen through COVID and the Hunter Biden laptop situation, that pendulum swung way too far to the government side. So we don't want that to ever happen again. But we do want to be realistic about how difficult these issues are and how hard speech is to define. You know, even speech that's hate speech is protected speech. So we call that lawful but awful. And part of living in a free society
yes.
is that we protect some pretty awful speech, right? And when it doesn't become physical violence, we should probably tolerate more of that and err on that side rather than err on the side we have been, which is having way too much of people's content taken down.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think everybody would agree if they would give it a moment's thought. Look what they are doing, and the government, and even intruding in school board discussions. This is really scary when parents get up and they talk about certain things in school, and then all of a sudden you hear that either the FBI or somebody in the Justice Department is now going in and checking up on the parents that were talking at the school board. I mean, this is like Nazi Germany.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We live in a, you know, we're meant to be living in a free, liberal, in the small L sense kind of society. And that means we have to be more tolerant of people when they express their opinions that we might disagree with. And there's a big difference between that and actual violence, right? Actual harm.
Right.
So I think as this case makes its way up through the courts and perhaps to the Supreme Court eventually, we'll have to dig into that, right? We'll have to get into the nitty-gritty of what's upsetting but allowed and protected. And also, what is the government able to do? The government can ask. The government can make them aware that this is up and on their site and they have concerns. But the government can't make explicit or implied threats about harming these companies, whether that's taking away their Section 230 liability protection, whether that's antitrust action against these companies. You can't bully private companies that way. So hopefully that's the part that gets through all of this.
We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And you must be really busy these days, Jessica. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have you this morning to be able to talk to us about such an important topic. And as you said, and she said, predicted that the federal government would certainly appeal this decision, which they have done. You know, it's interesting. It always seems like, or at least recently, it seems like the government only seems to come in and want to coerce censorship when they want to censor conservative thought. Is that Am I seeing this correctly, or is this not, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that there's a lot of truth in that. You know, obviously we have a to the left administration right now, so that's part of it. But I will say, in their defense, there have been some congressional Republicans who would be happy to get involved in this sort of thing, too. There was incidents of this communication during the Trump administration, too. It's just that this lawsuit covered the Biden administration specifically. So there's been a bit more emphasis on this. But obviously, both parties need to respect that, you know, they're not empowered with the ability to bully these companies into promoting anyone's particular political bias. So this is good for the goose, good for the gander in a left and right sense.
You know, the censorship issue seemed to be one of the reasons Elon Musk took over Twitter. Because he sensed that there was something going on there. So he takes over Twitter. And now I guess there's some sort of, I don't know what you would call it, an internet boxing match between, in fact, it might become a literal boxing match, but now an internet boxing match between he and, what's his name, Katzenberg of Facebook?
So, yes. Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg, excuse me. Exactly. So now Zuckerberg is coming out with something, and I guess he's trying to pull people away from Twitter with some new product as well, right?
Yes. So let's hope it doesn't come to literal blows, but that's right.
Yes.
Meta launched their kind of Twitter-like service this week called Threads, and they've had tens of millions of users jump on just in the first couple days here. So, so far, a success. But, you know, this is like Twitter, but it's also going to be different from Twitter in ways that you get to decide as a user if that's better or worse. Yeah. You know, maybe you want to kind of hang out with people who are more like-minded. I think that'll be a little more the case with Threads. They'll be a little more friendly to risk-adverse corporate advertisers. So there might be more content pulled down there just to keep things, you know, on a certain path. And that's their right to do, but perhaps you like a little more freewheeling of a conversation over at Twitter. That's great. And the point is, that's how it should be working, right? You get to choose where you want to spend your time, and you can spend your time on both, right? There's no problem with that. There's no extra cost to you. So they're fighting it out, and that's good news. That's what we want, right? Because that's when consumers win, when there's competition.
I don't know if you're old enough, Jessica, like I am, to remember the early days of the internet. I mean, when we're just coming on board, and things like Pong and stuff like that were, and one would never have thought, I don't think, at that time, about all of the issues surrounding free speech at this point. But it's been a natural evolution, I guess, because now everybody, you know, has a word or two, and they can just go online, and hundreds of thousands of people can read what they have to say. So mm-hmm. I guess there's good and bad in that. We are overwhelmed with data. We are now overwhelmed with people's opinions. Maybe in the long run, it's a good thing. But does it need to be corralled, or do we just allow the free flow and see where it leads?
Yeah, well, you know, the internet, that's such a great point you make, because the internet didn't have to turn out this way, right? It didn't have to become this decentralized, bottom-up thing where everyone who signs on has a forum to speak. That's kind of what social media is, right? It's third-party posts, all of us posting, all of us looking at each other's stuff. And what makes that possible is the liability shield of Section 230 that says to these platforms, no matter what anyone says on your platform, as long as you don't say it on your platform, you can't be sued for it. You can sue the person who said it, but you can't sue the platform that posted it. So that meant these platforms were up for hosting it. And then they figured out the ads part that paid for it, and here we are. And like you said, that has been the biggest expansion of free speech probably in human history.
Indeed.
But like all things, it comes with its challenges too, right? And now we know way too much about what everyone thinks.
Yes.
And some people spend too much time on this and all of that. But that's the way it goes, right? Every step forward we take, a little half step back sometimes. But we figure it out and we keep going and we work through these problems, right? We work through these questions, and that's what we're about to do with this free speech issue. We're about to draw some boundaries about what's okay and what's not for the government to interfere with. And I think that is, you know, that's a really good conversation for us to be having.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We just don't know exactly where it will lead. But I guess, like you say, you know, better to have too much speech than not enough. And certainly seem to be going in that direction. Jessica, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. You are so knowledgeable and interesting. And I thank you so much for your time this morning with us.
Oh, my gosh. It's always such a pleasure to be on with you. Thanks, you guys, so much for letting me chatter on.
Oh, no.
Have a great weekend.
And the same to you, dear. And we love you.
Oh, right back at you. Thanks,
right.
Guys.
Okay. Jessica Malugin.
You know, the other thing I noticed is you can say anything on the internet that you want, except if it has something to do with the 2020 election. And they will block you.
Are they still doing that?
Oh, yes, they are. They don't completely block you now. They put this little thing up that says, they hold the post from you, say, the following post is not true. Click here if you still want to see it.
And which of the sites are you thinking about? Facebook
maybe? And
Twitter,
Instagram.
Oh, Instagram. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we know that they even were blocking Trump for a while. They took away his Twitter? Yeah, of course. They took away Twitter.
Trump's a four-letter
before Elon
word.
Musk got hold of it.
Trump's a four-letter word to them.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we have a lot of things to talk about. Who brought the blow to the White House? We're going to talk about that.
And I'm going to give you a disgusting story after that.
All right. I'll look forward to hearing it.
When the night... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Friday. It's a little overcast. We got a little rain today. We need it. But overall, things are doing pretty well a few days after the 4th of July. So speaking of over the 4th of July, it sounds like they were having a lot of fun at the White House. In fact, who brought the cocaine to the West Wing is the big question these days. Allies of the Biden administration are fuming as reports on the cocaine found there over the holiday weekend causing a flurry of media attention, and allies are calling it political BS. Quote, it's all political fodder right now, political BS. I'm using a nice term for what they really said. This is a source close to the White House. The insider at the White House scoffing the story and saying it was predictably being leveraged by the right after former President Trump claimed that the illegal drug belonged to either President Joe Biden himself or to his son Hunter. I must say, Ed, the first person immediately that I thought about was Hunter Biden.
Oh, I disagree. I'm going to play it out for you right now.
Okay.
As I look at the CNN globe here.
Yeah.
In my crystal ball, and they will come up with a whistleblower that saw Trump use his spare key to the White House, went into the closet, and dumped the cocaine in there.
Now, that would be something, wouldn't it, if they found that out?
There you go.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking about whether the FBI or the Secret Service, I guess it is really, the Secret Service is responsible for trying to find this out. If it had been... the white substance had been something that was dangerous to...
Well, they said like anthrax.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If it had been anthrax, they would really probably find out who did it. Well, but secret, since it's cocaine...
Secret Service ain't very secret, tell you that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but do you think that they're going to sweep this under the rug?
I don't know. I don't see how they can. It's not going to go away, and I wouldn't let it go away either.
Yeah. And they got cameras, don't they? Can't they?
I would think so. There's cameras in Walmart, for crying out loud.
Exactly. Exactly. So they've got to figure out who really did it. We'll see how long it takes. By the way, we have a guy. I don't think he would deposit cocaine inside the White House. Oh, I wouldn't put it past him if he could get over there. But we got Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, this is quite a story. It's a story that the administration does not want to talk about. In fact, I think there was a question shouted at Biden the other day. He just stood there staring.
You know, Paul, today's a special day for you because I have an honored guest with me that can answer these questions for you.
Oh, really?
Okay. We have got the godfather, George Colella, national president of Bikers for 45.
Born to ride for 45.
Born to ride for 45. Now, any question you want, this man will set you straight on Donald Trump. So go ahead and shoot.
Oh, hi, George. Well, it's a delight to have you. I don't think Donald Trump had anything to do with the cocaine in the White House. He's been busy running around trying to get reelected again. What do you think?
Yes, you're 100% right, but I think they might blame it on the documents that they got.
Yes. Yeah, well, that could be. That could be. Now, Trump did say that he suspects that it's either Joe or Hunter that did it. And he was pretty quick about saying that. I think that's on a lot of people's minds. But it sounds to me like they're going to try and delay this, much like they've been trying to delay the whole issue of Hunter Biden and all those payoffs to his father.
Yeah, I agree with that because they have another 40. If you notice that he had 37 charges against him, indictments against President Trump, and then President Trump raised $50 million, I mean $40 million, and now they're coming out with another 40 indictments. So I think President Trump will raise another $50 million because for every indictment he has, he makes $1 million.
Yeah. Hey, George, tell us a little bit about your bikers organization.
Well, the whole thing is we make it Born to Ride for 45, so anybody could join us, either a car, truck, it doesn't matter, or a motorcycle, most likely motorcycles. But I was one of the original bikers for Trump from the get-go. President Trump knows me from there, then. He's got a great memory. He knows me from... When he came down the escalators, I saw him, and I did 26 days. I did about 135,000 miles on my motorcycle because I usually ride all over the place, not only Florida but throughout the United States. But the man is unbelievable. He has a memory that's unreal. He remembers everything, and he does it. The best way to do it is he shoots from the hip. And people respect him for that. And what he respects the most is loyalty. And I've been with him since then, and I'll be with him until he gets elected again.
Wow. You are one loyal guy. And that's amazing, all of the miles that you have put on. So you've been all over the country promoting...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I did a total of 26 states, 27 states.
Wow.
Now, Paul... You know how you sit there and you and I go back and forth and you're worried about Trump winning this election, the general election?
I am concerned.
Well, let George tell you about this, buddy.
Sure. Well,
I'm sorry, guys.
No, that's all right.
I'll give an answer.
No, George, it's all right. Andrew and I have talked about whether or not, quite frankly, there are enough people that will, you know, the electability issue. I mean, there are a lot of people, as you well know, that it's just baked in. They are not going to vote for Donald Trump. And based on this last election, I have been concerned about his electability. But you go ahead. Tell me why you think not to worry about it.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it because of the amount the threat is, according to, I don't call them Democrats anymore. I call them actually communist and Marxist regime. And they're more worried about the MAGA movement. And the MAGA movement is big. The only thing that we have to emphasize to all the people out there is the negativity that's out there about, oh, he's not going to win again, which they're going to cheat. But they have so much stuff in play with between lawyers and also, poll watchers and ballot counters. And we're going to do the same thing as they did, do early voting, early ballots, mailing out ballots, and doing exactly the same way. We have to play the same game they play. And President Donald Trump.
Well, first of all, I absolutely agree with you. You do have to play it the way that Democrats play it. And part of what they've done, along with mail-in voting, is the ballot harvesting. They go around and actually collect the ballots of people and bring them in, which I think is, I tended to worry about the legitimacy of all of that. But you got to play their game.
Yep. Well, here's a fact. I was at a place one time meeting with somebody, and they were a group of young college kids, and they were talking about a game plan. And I'll never forget that they actually go into nursing homes and also, 55 and over communities and stuff like that, and actually put out ballots. But also, what the word was out then, which there is kind of some proof, that they actually paid nursing homes to make them go out there with the ballots to make the people vote for Democrats.
Yeah, they coerced them into voting for, I know what you're talking about. I mean, that is just downright fraud. And like you say, if we can be more vigilant this time around, I would agree with you. So you think that because, according to supposedly, Biden had, 5 or 6 million more votes than Trump did. I mean, that's quite a bit to get past. But, of course, people also are looking at Biden and realizing how bad he's been as a president.
Well, there's a song out called 81 Million Votes by Beep. Could I say yes? Well, there's a song out by Perry Lake called 81 Million Votes by Yes. Which, the whole thing is, if you look at the total registered voters, which are 135 million registered voters, and 74 million voted for President Trump, and supposedly 81 million voted for Biden. If you total that up, it comes out to 155 million voters, which there was only 135 million registered voters in the United States.
I don't know how that works, but if that's true, if that is true, you're saying that there are some 15 or so million people that voted that should not have been able to vote.
Well, we got voter rolls from Pennsylvania, Georgia, even Florida. Florida did pretty good, but you still had the problem is the voter registrations that are listed by the government of each state. Well, every county. Like, we got 67 counties in Florida. They still have the old registered voters of people that are dead. I mean, they had a person, we found out there was, there were 10 people that voted that were 170 years old.
God. Boy.
And it's proven. Because the voter rolls aren't updated. Say, people that are coming from, say, New York to down here, or Jersey down here, I'm a New Yorker. I mean, I'm also a World Trade Center survivor.
Wow.
I was in the buildings when the planes hit.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
That's another story I can tell you about.
I bet you can.
But the whole thing is what happened is, if you're still on a voter register of New York or Jersey or the other states, they file your voting that, you know, as a Democrat, they could do that. And this is what happens. This is the problem. The problem is that it's the voting rolls, which there's an election integrity group that's out there, which Patrick Byrne, who owned Overstock.com, dumped millions into this election integrity to get out to find out about the voting rolls and everything else, which he did a lot of money out of pocket. General Flynn's involved in that and everything else. So.
Yeah. George, it's a pleasure talking with you. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, sorry to talk your ear off, but...
No. Delighted to. Absolutely delighted to. Andrew, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and it's great to be able to talk with George about it. You're giving me renewed hope, and I'm hoping that, as George says, that you know, we're going to be able to get out there and get out the Republican vote.
That's the most important thing, and we got to get the evangelistics out there too, because a lot of them didn't
vote. Yeah, the evangelicals, indeed. Well, gentlemen, thank you so very much, George. Thank you so much. Great to talk with you, and of course,
anytime.
Yeah, Andrew. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, my friend. Have a good weekend.
All right, the same to you, my friend.
Talking to you.
All right, bye, guys. Yeah, very interesting. You know. That would be interesting. I mean, if there were actually more people voting than there were people eligible to vote, you would think that that would be an easy call.
Yeah, I mean,
if
you had a classroom that had 40 kids and you came up with 45 votes.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that immediately be checked into and either confirmed
or dismissed?
Nobody
wants to take the time to look at it.
You don't think?
No.
Wow. Okay. Let us take our final break, and when we come back, among other things, we are going to tell you the top 10 longest-running television game shows.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you. Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for our final segment here on a Friday, Freedom Works. By the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. We thank you for listening in. But if you can't listen in live, thanks to Big Ed, bless him. All of our shows are put on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and at the top you'll see the podcast selection. Click on it. Ed's got all our shows on podcast, the most recent show at the top. You'll know who the guest is. He's got the guest, he's got the topic, and he's got the top 10. What more do you need in life? OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, you had something you were going to say. Was it related at all to the cocaine thing?
No. Okay. But it might be time for another boycott, it looks like.
Oh.
Well, first we had Bud Light with the whole Neil Mulvaney thing. Then we had Target with their nonsense. Nationwide Insurance.
Yes.
Now, there was a lovely lady, and it's one of my favorite commercials. At least it used to be. She sings that Nationwide is on your side. Very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, she's a gospel singer.
Oh.
She's decided to change the national anthem to her own words and did it.
She did.
In front of a crowd. You ready for these lyrics? Now, I'm not gonna give her the satisfaction of playing it.
No, no.
And I'm not going to give you all the lyrics, but here's the highlights, lowlights.
Okay.
Oh, say can you see by the blood in the streets that this place doesn't smile on you, colored child, whose blood built this land with sweat in their hands, but will die in this place and your memory erased. Oh, say does this truth hold any weight? This is not the land of the free, but the home of the slaves.
Oh. Where did she sing this?
At one of her concerts or whatever.
I see.
And then this wasn't a spur of the moment thing, because she actually had the closed caption, and, you know, they put on the bottom so you can follow the words.
Yeah,
if you're really that stupid, that, you know, you can sing along with it. So that it was premeditated.
Right.
Now, how many times have we seen a Hollywood representative or an athlete do something maybe a little off cuff, say the wrong thing, and be fired, or a protest was going to be planned to have this person fired? Why is that now woman not fired out the door by Nationwide Insurance? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know. Did she just recently say this?
This was just yesterday. It was put out.
Well, maybe Nationwide hasn't had.
Well, need to get on the ball, because I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even. They're too high anyway. But and it's always like that commercial. She just seems like a very nice, very nice song.
I mean, I knew nothing. All I remember is the voice. Nationwide is on your side.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Real quickly, I wanted to talk about a couple of things having to do with schools. One is vouchers, the other is gender identity. Ohio has joined a growing number of states passing pro-school choice legislation and expanding its voucher program to more families. This is good news in Ohio. The budget that the governor signed on the 4th of July included pro-school choice policies, so it joins a host of states, including Florida, West Virginia, Iowa, Arkansas, Utah, Arizona, and Oklahoma, which passed similar legislation. At the same time, the Democratic governor of North Carolina, his name is Roy Cooper, vetoed a trio of Republican bills yesterday that targeted the discussion of LGBTQ issues in schools and the availability of gender transition services for minors. The state legislature in North Carolina is likely to override the governor's veto, as it has done for similar pieces of legislation in recent months. Now, the governor argued that the bills passed by the legislature are part of culture wars and have no place in law. The first of the bills is a Florida-style parental rights bill requiring schools to notify parents if their kids seek to change their names or pronouns. Somehow the governor doesn't think that the schools should let the parents know about it? Are you kidding me? But that's what they are. That's what he's blocking. It also bans the discussion of LGBTQ issues in elementary school, and the governor blocked that as well with his veto. Hopefully they will be overrided. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, anything in sports that we need to talk about?
Sure. The Tampa Bay Rays have now lost 5 in a row.
No kidding.
And here come the best team in baseball, the Atlanta Braves.
I thought we were.
No, we would be the best team in the American League now. Yes.
The Braves passed us?
Yeah, last week.
We've been not doing well. What's the cause?
Pitching, mostly.
Yeah, it's always pitching.
Yep.
So we're just not doing what we did. Do you think we're going to be able to recover?
No.
No? Bad news.
Well, here's the thing. I think they're going to get, they got swept by the Phillies. I think they're going to get swept by the Braves.
Oh.
And then we got a 1 week, well, 5 days off for the All-Star break.
Yeah. Well, we got to get our act together. That is for sure. Because they've been doing so well up until recently.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. These are the top 10 longest running TV game shows. And I want to see if you'll know what is number one. Because I think you kind of like some of these game shows. All right. Here we go. Number 10. It ran for 22 years between 1999 and 2021. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
You remember that show?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
You didn't like it?
No.
I watched it a few times.
Yeah.
Number 9. Excuse me. Password. Do you remember Password?
Yeah,
it was a guy by the name of Alan Ludden that hosted Password. I liked it.
Yep.
Ran for 23 years. It debuted in 1961. Number 8. Boy, this goes back, and I do remember it as a little boy. What's My Line?
Yeah.
And it ran for 24 years. It debuted in the early 50s. Number 7, Pyramid. Now, Pyramid had several, reincarnations.
Well, you had like a $50,000 pyramid, a $100,000
exactly.
pyramid.
Exactly.
It was always the same concept.
It was. Yeah. It was. It ran overall with all of those different concepts for like, makeovers for about 25 years.
And they had a lot of actors in there. There was guests.
They did. Maybe that's what kept it so popular.
Well, of course, yeah.
Of course. Number 6. Remember Monty Hall and Let's Make a Deal?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I remember it very well. People would dress up like idiots.
Strange individuals.
And be waving to get his attention in the audience. Remember that?
Yep. Yeah,
it lasted 35 years. 35 years. Wow. Number 5. I know you like this one, and it's still on. Family Feud.
Well, yeah, and I think that's probably the best one out there with Steve Harvey as host.
Steve Harvey is on there. Yeah. You know that Monty was it not Monty Hall. Richard Dawson started Family Feud. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he's one who used to kiss all the women.
Yes, he did.
Couldn't do that today.
Yep. No, they don't. That lasted 38 years. All right, number 4. And this one has been making news recently because the host is going to retire from it.
Jeopardy.
Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune.
You know, it's been going for 46 years.
Yeah, and then Vanna wanted a shot at hosting it, and they didn't give it to her.
No. You know that Pat Sajak and Vanna White hold the record for the longest running television show hosts of all time?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Number 3. Now, this is my favorite.
Price is Right?
No.
Right.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Jeopardy has been running off and on since 1964.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long it's been running. Technically, it's been running, they say, for 52 years. So there must have been some time when it was not running during that period, but it's 52 years at least, and it's number 3. Number 2, this is a French show. Nobody knows about it here, but it's run for 54 years. We have to give them credit. Des chiffres et des lettres. So that's the numbers and the letters, okay?
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. It ran for 54 years.
Wow.
All right? Viva la France. All right, Ed, what do you think's number 1, real quick?
I've got to say, let's go with... How about The Price is Right?
Bingo! You're right. 58 years. Amazing show. I remember Bob Barker, but there was a guy by the name of Bill Cullen even before him. So there you go.
There you go.
Thanks so much. We will be back on Monday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.